Again, we're hearing. Tonight we want to hear again the gospel narrative of the birth of Christ as recorded in God's Word in the book of Luke. We're also going to continue our First Baptist wonderful tradition of having our children involved in leading us in worship as we have one of them read a passage of Scripture from Luke and then another lighting the candles on our Advent wreath. The Advent wreath is a time of remembering. And each week, for the last 4 weeks, we've lit one of the candles on the outer ring. There are four on the outer ring. So for the last 4 weeks, we lit one, and then two, then three. Last Sunday, four. And tonight, we'll light the center white candle, which represents Christ. It's a looking forward to a time of anticipation to the completeness of the wreath. As we remember, long ago, people were waiting for the promised Messiah, the anointed one, to come. They kept waiting and waiting. And today we're waiting for the return of Christ. So this is a visual to remind us that, and we're going to use our children to help us in leading us in worship in that way. Tonight, Jack Beeman is going to read the Scripture, and Ryan Gillig is going to be lighting the candles.
Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration in Quirinius, was governor of Syria. And when all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up to Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judah, to the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed. He was with child, and which they were there. When the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Let's pray. Father, how many times have we heard that there was no room for Jesus in the inn? And yet, Lord, we fail to make room for you oftentimes in our Christmas celebrations. We fail to make room for you in our daily schedules, in our lives, in the innermost part of our soul. Forgive us, Father. Tonight, we're praying for wisdom from you, that this will be a special time focusing on Jesus through our worship, through our praise, through our thanksgiving. Thrill our hearts continually with the meaning of the gift of Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. The Scripture says Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. It was his ancestor's city. Bethlehem known as the city of David, and now also known as the birthplace of our Savior. What a special place is Bethlehem.
Please stand again with me.
Little town of Bethlehem,
Did you catch those timeless truths of God's Word that were in that carol we were singing? The hopes and fears of all the years are met in Thee tonight. And verse 3 spoke of how silently the wondrous gift is given. The gift of Christ. Christ truly is a gift to us. May He be born in us today. There's a saying that we have among us humans that is, if you've got to get the task done, don't send a child to do it. Well, when God had to rescue man from the penalty of his sin, He sent a child. Isn't that just like God? To do just the opposite of what we would do? The Scripture says His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He sent a child to rescue us, to reconcile us, redeem us, bring us back to friendship with Him. The narrative account in Luke. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of city of David, because he was the house and lineage of David. He went there together with Mary, who was pledged to be married with him. I was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger. Should have the privilege of being up here and hearing you caroling like that. The truth of God's Word, the joy, the radiance on your faces as you smile. Fit us for heaven to live with you there, Lord Jesus. Continuing on with the gospel message in Luke chapter 2, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This is a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in the manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." Can you see that vision being out in the fields? and the multitude of the heavenly host making that announcement. Please stand to your feet as we sing. Can you finish the lyrics of this piece of music for me? Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild. Very good. You're a good class today. God and sinners reconciled. Reconciled is a big word. Some of our special messengers got to speak that on the video. Remember what reconciled means? To be restored to friendship. Reconciled. To be restored to friendship. God restored us to friendship with Him through Christ. Why did we need to be restored? Why did God and sinners need to be reconciled? And who are the sinners anyway? If you were paying attention to our special messengers on the video, you would have the answers to both of those questions. You see, before we can understand the solution to a problem, why Jesus came, we've really got to get a good grasp of what the problem was. The consequences of your and my sin, which separated us from God. The Bible makes it clear that we, you and I, caused a problem. And that problem is separation from God. Separation. You know, you can't communicate with Him. Can't feel His love. Can't experience His presence. Separated from Him. That's the result of our sin. Humanity is sinful. We don't like to hear that, but it's the truth out of the Bible. And you heard it from those special messengers. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. All have sinned. None is righteous. No, not one. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. In that passage, God tells us exactly what he thinks about us. It said, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great. Great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." You like that description of you? Theologians, are you ready for some theology tonight? No, Pastor Doug, tell us a warm, fuzzy Christmas story, okay? Theologians call it total depravity. It doesn't mean we're as sinful as we could be. It means that sin permeates every part of our being, our heart, our mind, our will, our emotions. Our entire capacity to love God is permeated and tainted by our sin nature, a bent away from God's ways. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We turned our backs on God at some time. We say, "No, God, I'd rather do it my way than your way." Each one of us has turned and done his own thing. In Ephesians chapter 2, God's word makes it clear that you were dead in your trespasses and sins. We once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying on the desires of the body and the mind, and were nature's children of wrath. Those aren't my words. Those are God's words. They're not easy to hear, but they're God's words. And the wages of that sin, what we deserve, wages are something you deserve for something you've done. The wages of your sin is death, and death means separation. When your body dies physically, your body and your soul, the part of you that exists for eternity, the body and the soul, are separated. That's physical death. But spiritual death is when your soul is separated from God. That's an awesome thing to ponder. Isaiah 59 says, "Your iniquities have made a separation between you and God. Your sins have hidden his face from you." So simply stated, the problem is our separation from God, which is the result of our sin. And each one of us is responsible for that separation. There is none that is righteous, no, not one. Remember I stated earlier, before you can understand the solution, you have to have a good grasp of what the problem is. And here it is in a nutshell: the problem, our separation from God. The solution, God's Son offers us reconciliation, being restored to friendship and a relationship with God. Otherwise, we look at Christmas, it's a nice time. It's a time to have a Christmas tree, to have family in, to sing Christmas carols, to eat some very special food. But we don't realize that it's what God did to bring us back into a relationship with him where we could be his friends. We could communicate with him. God does not want to remain separated from us. He wants us to be his children. He doesn't want to relate to us as sinners. He wants to relate to us as sons and daughters. Now think about this. Every strained relationship, in every broken relationship, there's reciprocation, which is the opposite of reconciliation. Big words. Every relationship that ever went sour is because someone did something and someone else reciprocated. Relationships are broken not because someone fails, but because when someone fails, the other people respond in like manner. Don't use the grace of God in response. Because we have a tendency of revenge, get back. Instead of reconciliation, I do reciprocation, I do recompense, I do retaliation. And those become words of death to our relationship. It's tit for tat, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. You did me wrong, I'll do you wrong. In fact, I'll do you wrong wronger. I'll really get back at you. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you more. That's what causes strained and broken relationships. And sometimes it's not exactly the same. You hurt me, I'm just not going to talk with you. I'm not going to say anything. Now, some of you are laughing and smiling because you know some relationships in your life. As you scan the landscape of your relationships, you know some relationships that may be like that. Someone does us wrong and we do wrong in return. That's not what God did. What kind of Christmas would it be if that's what God did? If God did unto us what we have done unto Him. We could maybe change that Christmas, that children's little tune. You know, be careful little what you do, because the Father up above is what? Looking down with a club. No, looking down in love. But what if He got back to us the way we do to Him? What if He did unto us like we have done unto Him? Think of this. Unto God we did sin. Unto God we did rebellion. Unto God we did rejection. Unto God we did stubbornness. No, I'm not going to do it your way, God. I think my way is better. Unto God we did our own way. But unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Unto you this day in the city of David. Unto you. Maybe some of you thought we stuttered a bit on that video. Maybe you thought we did a little bit of mis-editing of the video because it said unto you, unto you, unto you. We wanted to get the message across. God's gift is not generic. It's unto you. A child is born. Unto you a son is given. Unto you a Savior is born. We deserve judgment. We get grace. We deserve separation from God. We get the offer of friendship. We deserve alienation from God. We get adoption as sons and daughters. That's the good news of the gospel. Do you get the picture? It means that we need to be thinking about what God has done for us. You see, God stopped that downward spiral. When we reciprocate to somebody, when they do us wrong and we do them wrong, the relationship keeps getting worse and worse and worse and spirals downward. And God stopped that downward spiral. He reached down to us into the vortex of our own sinfulness and rescued us. The author Jerry Bridges put it this way. God did not wait for a change of heart on our part. He made the first move indeed. He did more than that. He did all that was necessary to secure our reconciliation, including our change of heart. Even though He's the one who was offended by our sins, He is the one who makes amends to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. The Scripture says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still offending God, while we were still turning our backs on Him, while we were still saying, God, I'll do it my way. I don't need to do it your way. I can do it my way. Christ died for us. Unto us, God did something different. Unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. Unto you, a Savior is born. That's good news. You've heard it. How should I respond? You've heard the response before, but consider it again tonight. I want to mention three responses to that gift of reconciliation that God is giving to us. One, you receive it. John 1:12. To all who did receive Him, who believed on His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Like any gift. It's not yours, so you take it. If you leave your Christmas present under the Christmas tree, it's not yours. You've got to reach out and take the gift. And throughout the New Testament, the key words that keep echoing are repent and believe, repent and believe. And repent means to turn. All we like sheep were what? Going our way. We'd gone away from God. Repent means we turn and start going toward God. We start working towards going His way. Repentance means we turn towards God. We work and strive to please Him. We find out what pleases God and we work towards it. Doesn't mean we don't sin. It means our mindset is on following God. We turn from doing things our way to doing things God's way. Instead of being the sheep that wander our own way, we become disciples, followers of Christ, turning to His way and learning what that means. Finding out what pleases God. Believe means to place your faith or trust in something. When you trust someone, you do what they say. You do what they ask. You obey. And whenever you do not follow someone, you're not trusting them. So when the Bible says, repent and believe, that means turn towards God from your ways, turn from your ways to God's ways, and trust His word. Put it to practice. Learn what it says. That's what brings salvation. That's what receiving the gift means. So your first response is to receive it. Receive it by repenting and believing. The second response is repeat it. Like the shepherds who went to see the baby the night that Christ was born. And when they saw Him, they made known the saying that was been told to them concerning the child. And they returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. You know, there are supposed to be some people who are following Christ because of your life. Can you point in your mind to some people who are doing that? Does your mom know? Does your sister know? How about your cousin? How about your boss? How about a stranger? How about the cashier in the line you always go through at the store? How about an old friend? People should know about Jesus because they hear it from you. Does anyone know Jesus because you know Him? If no one does, that's not right. This could be the best Christmas ever if you took the opportunity to pray with someone and introduce them to Jesus. All you have to do is tell them what you know. The shepherds went and told what they had seen and heard. You can do that. For a person who's received the gift, this is the passion of a true follower of Christ. Not just to receive it, but to repeat it. Receive it, repeat it. And here comes another word we don't use in church a whole lot of times. Replicate it. That means duplicate it. Do the same thing. What did God do for us? He reconciled us. Extend into your relationships what God did for you. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, hear these words. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. God's entrusted that message of reconciliation to you and to me. We need to replicate that. So scan the horizon of your relationships. Are there some people with whom you're not reconciled? You're not friends? I don't mean just on your social networks you unfriended them, but you've unfriended them in real life. It's not right between you and this other person. And like God, who did something different, you reacted by doing something not like God would do. Someone hurt you. Someone lied about you. Someone stole from you. And the relationship is severed because you're returning in like kind. God does not want us just to receive the gift. He doesn't want us just to tell about the gift. He wants us to repeat reconciliation. You know, just because God offers the gift of reconciliation, everybody hasn't been reconciled with God. So just because you become an instrument of reconciliation to relationships in your life, doesn't mean they're all going to be restored to friendship, but you're doing your part. You're reaching out and doing what God is wanting you to do. God wants you to extend into that relationship what He has extended to you. It's unto me you did this, but unto you I give you grace. Every follower of Christ needed to have a number of stories really a number of stories, true in their own life, of how they're reconciling relationships. Be an instrument of reconciliation. We need to see that principle more in our relationships. And some of you have some challenging relationships facing you yet this year. There are some people you're going to meet that are going to be a challenge in their relationship. And maybe you're going to meet them tomorrow. Maybe they're with you tonight. Maybe they're in the car with you as you go home. If someone reaches out to you in a small step of reconciliation, don't resist it. You add your step of reconciliation to it. God and sinners reconciled. Perhaps a strained or broken relationship exists because you're not being an instrument of reconciliation that God's causing you to be, calling you to be. This Christmas, be like Joseph, whom we learned in past weeks, humbled himself by giving up his expectations and trusting God to meet your needs by approaching what is before you his way. Be humble. Approach the relationship God's way. This Christmas, be like the shepherds that we learned about earlier this season. Go joyfully, urgently, obediently proclaiming the gospel and glorifying God by it, by your lifestyle as well. And be like Mary. Experience the impossible by believing what God has said and acting in faith upon it. God said you're an instrument of reconciliation, and you say, it's impossible in this situation. Believe God, trust His word, and you do your part, and see what God does. God is still doing the impossible. How did this all come? Well, God the Father sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved, might be reconciled. God sent the Father. The Father sent the Son. And the Son was born, lived among us, was crucified and buried, rose and ascended into heaven. And then He sent the Holy Spirit. And as we receive that gift, the Holy Spirit is born in our heart, enables us to be instruments of reconciliation in other people's lives, that we can give to others that gift of love and reconciliation. The Father sent the Son. The Son sent the Spirit. The Spirit gives us life, that we can give the gift of love and reconciliation to others. We have some more of our special messengers tonight who are going to come and share that message with you in a very special way. So, Miss Emily is going to be back with some of those special messengers.
Not quite yet. Maybe we can get, if you're in preschool to fifth grade around there, or I know my dad's a kid at heart. If you want to come up, Dad, you can come up. But no. Oh, guys. Oh, hey, everybody. Can we get, I'm going to make sure everybody can see you guys. Let's see. All right. I am too big. I need to scoot back here. Now, some of you have heard this song before. Some of you have not heard this song, have you? Right? Well, Pastor Doug just said the words to the song that we're going to sing. And I'm going to have, let's see, where's Jack and Ryan? Can you guys hold this up for us? Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay. All right, can you guys look at the sign with me? I'm going to teach you some motions, okay? It says, the Father gave the Son. Can you do it with me?
The Father gave the Son.
Now, who was the Son? Who was the Son?
Jesus.
Awesome, Mason. Jesus, right? The Son gave the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit. The Spirit gives us what?
Life.
Life. That's right. Let's do our sign language for life. Ready? Take your L. Like that. That's right. So we can give the gift of?
Love.
That's right. Who is love? Who is love? Oh, can you say that again?
God.
God is love. That's right. Who is the best gift ever? I almost said what, but it's a who.
Jesus.
Yes, good job. Jesus. Can you say it really loud? Who is the best gift ever?
Jesus.
Yes, awesome. All right, we're going to sing this. Okay, you guys ready to sing it? Can everybody see? Okay. Are you guys ready? All right, Mr. Jones, we are ready.
The Father gave the Son. The Son gave the Spirit. The Spirit gives us life, so we can give the gift of love. And the gift goes on. 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 Don't you love to give? Wrapped up in a Christmas bow, God gave each of us a present on that night so long ago. It's a gift that keeps on giving if our spirits can receive. It's the secret joy of living if our hearts can just believe.
Are you ready?
And the gift goes on.
Well, now you can say on Christmas Eve you got to sing with an angel choir. Okay? When God wanted to reconcile the world, He sent a child. Children are awesome gifts from God. And they can help us understand the gifts that God gives us and the truth of God's giving them. I trust you've been challenged and encouraged tonight with the gift of Christ and the gift of reconciliation. And in a moment, we're going to have the opportunity of getting a visual demonstration of how the gift can go on and on. If you've been part of our candlelighting service before, you know how that is going to work. Before we do that, however, I want to remind you of another opportunity that you have to share the gift, that the gift might go on. As you leave this evening, there's going to be a receptacle at the Welcome Center, which is out in this foyer, and in the back hallway there'll be another one. If you would like to contribute to our Deacon's Fund, that's a fund that we use throughout the whole year, not just at the holiday season, to help people in the time of need. When people just need an extra hand for a short period of time or to get up and get lifted, we have a Deacon's Fund to help. If you'd like to help contribute to that tonight as a way of passing that gift of love and the way God has blessed you, just as you leave, just think of that and go to the receptacle either in the Welcome Center or in the back hallway. Just this past season, during the Thanksgiving time, we took boxes of food to 27 different families in this local area, and at Christmas time, 23 families received food. Now, the Deacon's Fund doesn't just do food. It does other ways of helping people, but that's just an illustration of how that works as we reach out in love and help one another. We're going to enter into our candlelighting service in just a moment. Pastor Nate's going to extinguish all the candles around the Advent wreath except for the center one representing Christ. Then I'm going to light my candle from the center one. And then Pastor Dale and Pastor Nate will light each of their candles from my candle. And then they'll walk down the center aisle and light the candle of the person who's seated on the aisle. That person will then light the candle next to them, and we will see the light spread. A little instruction. Once a candle is lit, please don't tip it. Tip the unlit candle to light from. If a candle that was lit goes out, be careful to relight it that you don't pour the wax out while you're relighting it. You may have to tip two of them a little bit. You can comprehend that if we just are mindful of what we're doing. We want this to be a joyful occasion. We want to see the spread of the light. Jesus came into a world of darkness, and the darkness could not put out that light. And then he said, "You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works." Whoa, we're supposed to have good works. And glorify their Father in heaven. Not see our good works and say, "Oh, what a nice guy he is." See your good works and glorify God. We're supposed to be light in the world of darkness. In broken relationships and strained relationships, we're supposed to be instruments of reconciliation, bringing God's grace and light into them. Doing our part. And don't wait until New Year's to make your New Year's resolution to be an instrument of reconciliation. Start today. But I have a special gift for you. After the first of the year, the preaching series here is going to be on 2 Corinthians, a book of reconciliation. So if you need a little help, start now. And then pick up with us as we do that Bible study starting the first Sunday of the year. Right now, the candle lighting service, I'm going to light my candle. We're going to turn all the other lights out, hopefully, and we're going to see this illustration of it being spread, the light being spread. We started with the light of one candle. Just look at the faces. The warm glow, the countenance, the smiles, as they illumine our faces. And now as we try and do each year, just carefully raise it up and look at the difference the light makes in the room. When we let our light shine and don't hoard it and keep it to ourselves. Just look around. The light of the world is Jesus. And then he said, you are the light of the world. Be instruments of reconciliation. Bring them back down as we sing together, Silent Night. Unto you, a child is born. Unto you, a son is given. A Savior, a reconciler. Thank you for worshiping with us tonight. Thank you for allowing us to be together to worship the Lord on this very special evening. We're going to ask that we extinguish our candles together. Kind of put your hand to cup it and just blow it gently so we don't blow the wax around. And still holding our candles upright. As you leave tonight, there will be receptacles to place your candles in. It's been our blessing to be able to host you tonight in praising God and singing to Him. Think about this. From an infant baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and placed in a manger, to a crucified Savior wrapped in grave clothes and placed in a tomb. to the loving Heavenly Father, wrapping His loving arms around you and placing you in His eternal forever family. That's the unfolding story of Christmas. Receive it, repeat it, and replicate it. May God bless you, and may you have a very God-blessed, reconciling Christmas. Good evening. Thank you. Thanks for your help, Jack.